Views and opinions expressed on the following program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of the staff or management of KLAV.
Welcome to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts Bob Dancer and Michael Shackelford. Bob Dancer is America's premier video poker writer and teacher. He's in the Video Poker Hall of Fame, and he has written 10 books, including Video Poker for the Intelligent Beginner and the best-selling Million Dollar Video Poker. He helped develop the Video Poker for Winners computer software. Michael Shackelford is the force behind the websites Wizard of Odds, Wizard of Vegas, and Wizard of Macau. An actuary by profession, Michael has been analyzing the whole gamut of casino games since 1995. His Wizard of Odds website explains the best strategies for 140 different casino games. Michael is also the author of Gambling 102, The Best Strategies for All Casino Games, and is a former adjunct professor of gaming math at UNLV. The goal of the show is that, by listening, you will be a more knowledgeable gambler tomorrow than you were yesterday. And now, here are Bob and Mike.
Good evening. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. I'm Bob Dancer.
And I'm Mike Shackelford.
Our guest tonight will be Dolly Wong, cocktail waitress on the Las Vegas Strip, whose website is cocktaildoll.com. We'll be talking to Dolly in 10 or 15 minutes, but she may decide to interject a comment or two before her official segment begins. She's welcome to do that.
Hello.
All right. I just met her 10 minutes ago, and I think the odds are good that she will comment before her segment, but we shall see. Now, Valentine's Day was a couple of days ago. At this time in my life, I'm more of an EV chaser than I am a romantic. I gambled about 12 hours that day because South Point and other casinos I frequent were offering double points. Key part of my business plan is to play a lot more when casinos are giving away more. So it's taken a long time to train Shirley that days like Valentine's Day, Christmas, Easter, etc. are key for investing in a casino and not for silly things like waiting in line to eat at a fancy restaurant. Overall, Shirley gets what she wants, but just not on the same day that other people think is the correct one to do it. So, Michael, how are you and Mrs. Wizard celebrating Valentine's Day?
Well, we didn't do very much as usual. After 17 years of marriage, I've managed to lower her expectations of me for the day. And the day pretty much consisted of a card. And that was about it, I'm afraid.
Uh-huh. Bunch of old romantics hosting this show.
Yeah, right. In my opinion, Valentine's Day is just a day for us men to hopefully survive outside of the doghouse.
Well, I don't know. Both you and I are married men, and that colors our perspective. Back when I was single, Valentine's Day was a higher priority for me, especially when I didn't have a girlfriend at the time. Now, later we'll ask Dolly if she sees guys acting differently on Valentine's Day. I suspect she will, but we'll have to find out for sure. Now, Michael, you are offering a book giveaway. What's that all about?
Yep. A lot of readers ask that I give away some books on the show, so I'd like to make it a weekly thing where at least one of us gives away a copy of one of our books.
I have no problem giving away alternating weeks when we give away your book. Is that what you were saying?
That works with me.
Good. No, I will.
Oh, I'm sorry. I misunderstood.
Good. All right. Fine. We will. Good. So what's the contest going to be this week?
I thought I would do a trivia question.
Okay.
Shall I ask it now?
Sure. And the winner has to send an email to gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com?
Yes. The first correct answer to gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com will get an autographed copy of my book.
All right. Is this a question that you should be able to look up on Google?
I was going to request that there be no searching allowed. I know it's going to be hard to enforce that policy, but let's be gentlemen about it and no searching allowed.
Good. So if anybody cheats, we will ban you from listening to the show next week. That'll teach them.
That will 86 you.
All right. Good. So what is your trivia question?
Okay. Well, I was born in the 60s, so naturally I'm a big fan of all the sitcoms of the 70s, and the Brady Bunch being one of my favorites. So here is the question. In the episode where Peter built the volcano, Marcia was having a meeting of her club in the backyard, and the volcano sprayed mud all over everybody. So what was the name of this snooty girls' club that Marcia was trying to pledge in that episode?
Well, I'm not going to win a copy of the book this time. A lot of your trivia questions I would have a shot at, but not that one. Okay, good. So if you know the answer to that, send it to gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com. All right. Now, a week or so ago, we were walking out to our cars after the show, and you told me, Michael, that you were getting a license to carry a concealed weapon. So I want to ask you about that, but the first thing I need to ask you is, are you packing tonight, and have I done or said anything recently to piss you off?
I'm packing.
Are you going on a trip?
Dolly may be packing.
I am.
All right. Too much information. Good.
No, I'm not packing yet because I'm still waiting for the police department to complete my background check, but I've completed every other requirement.
All right. So.
And no, you're okay with me for now. But,
oh, good.
But be on notice that I'm going to be packing in the future.
To the show. Oh, good. Now, okay, why are you doing this?
It's because few people know, but at nighttime I have a sideline and I become a vigilante fighting crime. No, seriously.
I'm looking at him.
I knew that. I did.
You did
know
that.
That's how we met.
That he was. Were you one of the criminals? All right.
He was packing.
He was packing. All right. Well, I don't know. You might want to explain that.
To be honest with you, I support the right of law-abiding citizens to be armed, and I think there would be less crime, and the world would be a better place if at least a small percentage of law-abiding citizens were armed, and. So I think that this is a right that I just choose to exercise, even if I never use it.
Are you thinking of wearing the gun or packing a gun in a casino? Is that likely something you would do?
The person who taught my training course recommended against doing that. First of all, he said that you're allowed to do it unless the casino specifically has a sign by the door that says no firearms. And he said that to the best of his knowledge, the only casinos that have this rule are the station casinos. But he said, and I don't know if this is true, but he said that the security cameras can tell if you're carrying a gun through your clothing. And he said that even if you're allowed to, they might notice that and get nervous about it and confront you about it.
Well, yeah, somebody carrying a gun, I guarantee you they will get nervous about it.
Yes, so he recommended don't do it even if the casino doesn't prohibit it.
Okay, but because you're a gambler who plays for reasonably high stakes and sometimes is carrying money with you, that was not a major reason why you were packing the gun?
Well, you know, that's a good point. Sometimes I am carrying a lot of money, and it's generally two casinos. So you never know. Maybe I'll try it out.
I prefer to carry large amounts of money from casinos. Go ahead.
Well, you know, I just might try it and see if they catch me.
Uh-huh. Good. So, yeah, my phone number. I promise to keep bail money handy. Good. All right. So I can tell you that I'm slightly less comfortable hosting the show with this new co-host, but I'm still going to keep him on for now. Something unusual. There's an event happening at the Palms this weekend that is probably sold out, but it is. But I want to talk about it because some of it has some unusual features to it. Now, it's an heads-up invitational slot tournament. Now, what that means is there's going to be 128 people, and they play each other. So I might play Michael in the first round, and at the whichever one of us scores higher moves on, and the other guy's out. And two other players are going to, so in the 64 are going to play 64, which is going to eliminate 64 of them. And then of those 64, they play again, and it's down to 32. At this point, the people who have been eliminated can buy back into the event for $50. And the EV is something like $500 or $600 at this point, if they can EV into that round. And so was trying to find out the rules, and apparently they've done this before and didn't work quite the way the rules said they would, so they kind of had to make some fast assumptions on the slide and make decisions to make the tournament work. So presumably they think they have these rules ironed out because they're trying it again. And so I'm going to go this weekend and compete partly just to see how it works. And then I will compute the EV afterwards of what I think it was. And, of course, by that time I will know the number, whether I got zero or 40,000 or whatever the number was, more likely to get the first than the latter. But it's actually the EV which is more important to me because that would be a decision as to help me decide if I want to spend time doing this when they do this again in the future.
Are you suggesting this is a double elimination tournament if you rebuy?
Well, if you can, yes. Depending on, there may be limits to the number of players rebuying. Presumably, if they're you're down to 32, they're going to let up to another 32 rebuy to make it 64, which is an even number. On this, they also have a feature where a certain number of wild cards get placed in at the end in order to even it out. So, it is a type of double elimination tournament, but you do have to buy back in. And from where I think the rules are going to be, it's a no-brainer to buy back in. It's a much higher if you have an EV of 500 or something, and it costs you $50. Last time they did this, four people rebought in. So either my math is way off, or there was a bunch of chickens who did this tournament last time. But anyway, I'll find out, and I will either explain it at length next week or write it in my column on Tuesday at lva.com. I have a blog on Tuesday. Many of you know about that. So I may write about it there. So, Michael, why don't you tell us who Dolly Wong is and why she's gracing our studio this evening?
Before I do that, let me say that I'm sure you and I are the type of people that will analyze the rules of a tournament to death to determine if it's valuable to get into and play, and then the strategy once you're in it. And there's nothing more annoying when the casino changes the rules on the seat of their pants, and usually it's to the any rule that benefits one person is going to disadvantage everybody else. So I'm all in favor of crystal clear rules. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, yes, but sometimes the holes in the rules don't become evident until later. Now, some casinos write real good rules. Back when Jim Hughes was the GM at the Palms, he personally wrote the rules, and they were the best in town. I know Michael Gaughan writes the rules for the South Point promotion, and I will go in and complain about typo level things that, you know, well, this time you put an apostrophe in Players Club and that time you didn't. But I mean, it's that level of criticism, and it's nothing significant. There are other casinos that have a real trouble writing the rules, and so yeah, that is very annoying.
Yep. Okay. Well, today's guest is Dolly Wong. Dolly is a cocktail waitress at one of the strip casinos here in Las Vegas and the voice behind her two websites, Cocktail Doll and CocktailBlogspot.com. Dolly's sites are an entertaining and humorous look at the world of cocktailing. I've known Dolly for several years and can say that she is just as candid and honest in person as she is on her sites. Here to give us the scoop on the profession we gamblers interact with often but probably don't know much about is Dolly Wong. Dolly, welcome to Gambling with an Edge.
Thank you.
Okay, your first question. You haven't updated your sites in over 2 years, and I think a lot of your fans really miss you. So can you tell us why you haven't been updating it and maybe a little what's going on with you?
Just lazy. I don't think I have too many fans anyway. I think it's more just friends who just want more juicy stories. I don't know.
Or look at juicy pictures on
maybe
the site.
Maybe. Yeah, I can always do that. I have Facebook now. Who needs my website?
Okay, well,
the Facebook doesn't have the great stories.
It's true, and I've actually been kicked off Facebook a couple times by Facebook for my pictures and stuff. So you're right.
Oh.
That doesn't surprise me.
Well, good. That will actually encourage people to check out the pictures on your site, I'm sure. All right, I got a question for you. One player at a table orders a straight orange juice. Somebody else orders a screwdriver, which is orange juice with vodka. Now, what codes are do you use or the casino use so that you, first of all, don't get the drinks mixed up and you don't give the wrong one to the wrong person, and the people in the pit can tell the difference as to who's drinking alcohol and who isn't? So do you use different glasses, different napkins, different straws? How do you tell them apart?
Just common sense. I mean, there's no codes. Someone orders an orange juice, you just kind of remember who orders what.
So even though the glasses look the same on the tray, you don't mark the glasses differently.
No, there's a calling order, or there should be a calling order, and you should remember, you know, how you ordered your drinks and where each one is. As far as the casino, I think as long as you are losing, they won't cut you off. But once you start winning, I think that's when they cut you off. But they'll let you keep gambling. I don't think there's a code. There's no signal between, you know, employees or.
Interesting. One of our guests on a different show worked in surveillance. Indicated that at least in some casinos there was, and I hadn't heard of that before.
Maybe between the pit bosses and surveillance, but as far as employee to employee, I've never.
That they could notice by the size of the straw whether there was alcohol in the drink or not.
No, that's, you know what, I've actually had customers tell me that, because some waitresses can't tell the difference between, they forget, you know, if they have a Coke or a Diet Coke, they'll put two straws in the regular Coke and one straw in the Diet. And that's just for themselves to remember. But for some reason,
every waitress uses her own code.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Okay. I've been in a lot of arguments with friends over tipping etiquette of cocktail waiters.
Tip more.
Well, I'm going to give you a chance to be more specific.
Okay.
For example, what is a baseline tip per drink? And if someone's ordering something more exotic, how much extra should they tip? And what can you do? You know, I know that you would be biased in favor of larger drinks, but try to be unbiased and give us guys some guidance to go on.
Well, the drinks in the casino when you're gambling are free, meaning, you know, they're there just to keep you happy while you're gambling. The service, we like to say, is not. So basically, a good rule of thumb is never less than $1 per drink, and a drink is anything from, you know, a screwdriver to even a bottled water, because that's something you are consuming as a liquid. That's a drink. As far as the more exotic drinks, I wouldn't say you should tip more, but you should tip more if your drink is more difficult to make, or you know, causes the waitress to have to go out of her way to do something special for you. You know, if you're requesting a certain kind of alcohol, or you know, you want a fat straw instead of the skinny straws, or, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to do with the drink, but the actual extra step that you're asking the waitress to do.
And is the customer allowed to ask for a drink in a bigger glass?
Sure. But if you are asking for a mixed drink, you're actually doing yourself a disservice, because the drink is going to taste weaker. Because, like I said on my website, it's not like we're going to be like, oh my God, there's an extra space in this glass. What are we going to do with it? Fill it up with more vodka? No, we're just going to fill it up with more of the mixer. So you're actually going to think that the drink tastes watered down, is what people like to say, but it's not. I mean, definitely if you're ordering a soda or something, yeah, that's to your advantage.
Okay, I did not know that.
Mm-hmm. Does it differ? Like when I'm on the strip, I mean, my drinks are bottles of water, and so it's like $1 per bottle of water on the strip, and at the local casinos, it's two bottles of water for $1. And I'm actually one of the favorite customers, because I'm friendly and I chat when they have a chance. But I've never been kicked in the shins for
so
the size of the tip.
So you're saying you're taking up more time and tipping less, and that makes you a favorite customer.
Right. Something.
Now, awesome.
Now, let's say a guy does stiff you. Mm-hmm. I'm referring to tip.
Okay.
So let's say a guy does stiff you with the tip. What do you do?
I don't know. You mean what I do personally or what has been done?
You can either answer that as Dolly or you can answer as a member of this class of servers. This is what we do.
We're not allowed to do anything except smile and say thank you.
But do you tone it in a sarcastic way?
I've been known to say, you know.
Say things you can't say on the radio?
Yeah, I mean, like I'll say, you know, oh, you're welcome when they didn't say thank you. But, you know, that's to, you know, it's just, I don't know. I might not go back for a while. You know, they might be thirsty.
But accidentally spilling a drink on them is not allowed?
No, that's accidentally, yes. But accidentally forgetting their drink, that's definitely allowed. Because that's, you know, we're human. That happens. You know, we understand you forget to tip. We forget to bring the drink. You know, it happens.
Okay. So what type of gamblers make the best and worst tippers? And are there particular parts of the casino that tip better than others?
Well, I think the best, most consistent best tippers are locals because, you know, they live here. They kind of know what they're supposed to do. The better stations usually are the pit, what we call the pit blackjack sections, because the minimum is $1, which is the roulette table, and usually the blackjacks are, you know, $5 minimum, whatever. And so, you know, most likely they're going to tip you one of their chips as opposed to reaching in their pocket, giving you pocket change, most likely. And also, I think people who play blackjack or video poker are more they know what's going on because they're not the tourists that come here and just put a nickel in and go, oh, my God, look at the flashing machine. You know, they kind of know this. It's probably not their first time in a casino. So they know they're supposed to tip when they're getting a drink. So they kind of know what's going on.
Oh, how about the sports book?
The sports book.
They use tickets.
Yeah, some of them do now. Some of them actually charge for drinks. And, you know, everybody's different now. Some make you look at the ticket of the customer, and they have to be betting that day, the game that's coming up, and at least $100, you know, on that game, and then they're only allowed, you know, well drinks, certain beers, blah, blah, blah. So that kind of makes it a pain in the ass. The good thing about Sportsbook is it's almost exclusively guys, and, you know, just that in itself is a gold mine.
For a pretty girl.
Absolutely. I wouldn't know, but
yeah, you would have no idea. I am sure. Okay, but speaking of this, a lot of casinos, the waitresses work for the culinary union. Now, Now, with them, you can't fire anybody if they're doing a decent job. Now, you go to a place like the Cosmo, where it's just opened up a year ago, and all of the women are young and gorgeous. You go to the Tropicana or the Riviera, where
let's not name names. That's mean.
Well, but they are old. Some of these, the ladies have been working there for 40 years,
right?
And when they got the jobs, it was 40 pounds ago.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so if you belong to the men or pig school, then you prefer the young and pretty girls to bring you your drinks, although water tastes like water, whatever or whatever, but. Of course, it also seems unfair that these ladies who are working quite hard would lose their job just because they get older, as we all will eventually. So where do you sit on the spectrum as to, you know, should casinos get rid of older and less attractive waitresses?
If I had a casino, I would definitely have the young hot chicks. I mean, let's face it, that's what, you know, Vegas is about, and that's what guys are about. I mean, that it only makes sense. But, you know, you have a point. You know, you can't just kick someone out just because they get fat. I mean, everyone gets old. You can't help that. But I think you definitely can do something about the way you look and look your best at whatever age you're at. I don't know. I mean, the Cosmo, it just opened up. Go there in 10 years. I guarantee you those chicks, even if they're still there, they're not going to look the same.
Oh, I'm sure.
Know? So, I mean, you know, even in any non-union casino that is older now, the girls aren't going to be as hot as obviously they once were.
But they can fire them if in the non-union casinos.
But I even think in the non-union casinos, you find that very, very unlikely. I think they would fire them for cause other than their looks. I mean, I've heard of stories when I worked at Bally's years ago of managers taking girls in the back and putting them on like a meat scale. And, I mean, I think that's a little extreme, but I think it does get to the point where if you're waddling around, you probably shouldn't be doing this job. I mean, you should take pride in the kind of work that you do. And if, you know, you're in a job that relies on your looks, I think that's relevant.
Well, speaking of taking pride in your job, appearance, I'm sure, is highly correlated with tip size. And you can tell that a lot of the ladies work hard at their hair and makeup and maybe cosmetic improvements. And so my question is how much does that help your average tips per day?
Well, because I'm hot with big tits, I can't speak for the other chicks. No, of course. I think it's just common sense that the better looking you are, especially as a cocktail waitress, I mean, in life in general, right? But even as a cocktail waitress, that's definitely going to help you. You know, people probably, men, I mean, that's like 80% of our clientele. Of course, they're going to be more likely to order from you. And when you smile, they're going to be more likely to smile back. And, you know, they might go, hey, you know, to their buddies, check out this girl, and then order a drink just so that, you know, you'll come back and they can, you know, look at you some more. I mean, that totally makes sense. So, I mean, I don't know. I think when it comes down to it, you know, when someone wants a drink, they want a drink. They don't care who's giving it to them. You know, people who really want their drink, they don't care. They want their drink, they don't care. But I think definitely if you're hot, I mean, you're going to get more people that want to order from you. You're going to get bigger tips. You're going to get nicer people. You know, that all goes together.
Nicer people?
Of course. People are going to be nicer to you because they want you to come back. You know, come on. You weren't born yesterday. I mean,
No. I understand how a boob job can help you get bigger tips, but I don't understand how the people who appreciate the girls with the bigger boobs are necessarily the nicer people.
Well, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Yeah, men are pigs. True. I mean, you're going to get the kind that when you walk by, they're going to comment or whatever. But I think definitely they're going to be more receptive when you're nice to them. They're going to be happier about it. You know, oh, a hot girl, big tits, smiled at me. You know, woo, you know, I must be something.
I should be the first to confess that I'm probably nicer to prettier girls.
You're confessing to me?
Yeah, and didn't you say that there's a correlation between, like, the intelligence of a girl, like, the hotter she is, the dumber she is? Like, there's an actual graph. Yes, you did. I know you said that.
I said, oh, no, like, I'm going to get lots of angry email now.
Oh, so...
Well, you know, to be honest, if you look at the women in the mechanical engineering department at Caltech, they probably don't look like you. Can I leave it at that?
Well, at what department at which school do they?
You know, maybe in the psychology department at Golden West College.
I don't know what Golden West means.
Yeah.
That's a junior college in Orange County.
Yeah, well, actually, Southern California has, because of sunshine, the places in the sun, Florida, Texas, California, where they can exercise all the time, and people are slender.
Well, Caltech is also in Southern California.
No, it's not. It's in another planet. Now, assume there's a regular, a guy named Joe. He comes every week. He sits in your section. And he orders his usual. We don't have to define it more than that. And he tips you $2 every time. But one night, instead of the normal small amount of money he is winning thousands and thousands of dollars. All right. You bring him his usual. Are you expecting more than $2 this time? And do you say anything to him to encourage him to give you more than $2?
We had a debate about this question at work today. And, you know, if you're talking thousands and thousands of dollars, then yeah, I'd be pissed if you still gave me the $2. But I had this real life example. I was working at another casino and I was serving this lady. She wasn't a regular, but she was there all day and she was giving me $5 a drink. Very nice lady. She was playing the dollar Wheel of Fortune. And she won. It was $4 million or something like that. She was so happy, blah, blah, blah. She gave me $40. I was happy, you know, but Okay. Everyone was like, she only gave you $40? And I was like, are you guys kidding me? I mean, that's $40 more than I would have had. And she was nice anyway by giving me $5 a drink. And for once, someone that I actually liked and was pleasant won something. I was happy for her. I would have been happy if she still just gave me $5. I mean, honestly, I couldn't care less because I was so happy for this lady. She was so nice. But if you're talking like someone's giving you $2, I mean, as opposed to $5, I know that sounds like it's nitpicking, but that really does make a difference because $2 isn't, it's like, you know, it's nice, but it's not like all that. And if it's a regular, I don't know. I would think I wouldn't have to like schmooze up to him for him to give me more. I would think that a regular would know better and would give me more.
Okay. So let's say that you're working the blackjack pit and there's a young-looking player playing and you suspect he might not be 21. What is the casino policy about carding him? Like, can you assume that's the pit's job? Or does that ever fall into your job responsibility?
I don't think I've carded anyone since 1999. Don't tell anyone.
No one will ever know.
Good thing we don't have any listeners on this radio program.
Well, if he's really hot, I really wouldn't.
I don't believe you said that. Okay.
No. The law is that we are responsible for carding each person. So, you know, a lot of times employees will actually be mistaken about this. They'll tell young-looking players to go up to the security booth and get a wristband. You know, they tell them if you go to security, you know, show them your ID, you're 21 or over, you'll get a wristband, and then you won't be carded again. That's absolutely 100% incorrect, because every casino employee who has a TAM card, which serves alcohol, is responsible for actually carding someone themselves. And if anything ever were to happen, it would come back on that person serving the drink.
So the young player, so several people could get in trouble. It's people in the pit and the cocktail.
Absolutely, yeah. And so another thing is that makes a lot of customers, you know, irritated because they've been told they have this wristband and, you know, they're free. You know, they can go anywhere, no one will card them again, so it's irritating to them. But it's kind of like something I wish the casinos would, you know, communicate with each other that the wristband thing is a no-go.
Okay, so assume there's a player who, however you want to define it, you consider disgusting in terms of personal habits. He doesn't treat you badly, but perhaps he smells, or he shows too much skin that you don't want to see, or something. But he tips with green chips.
Oh, hello.
Green chips are $25, and sometimes a couple of them. Now, he's doing this for several hours.
Oh.
After a while comes the inevitable, Dolly, what time do you get off tonight? Now, presumably you don't want to totally alienate him because you like these green chips. And there's no way in heck, because he disgusts you so much, there's no way in heck that he's going to get lucky.
You're assuming a lot here, but go ahead.
Good. So, good. So how do you handle this?
I would probably, yeah, let him think that I was going to go up to the room with him. Why not? I would let him think that. Some guy offered me or gave me, okay, IRS is listening. So as far as I can remember, some guy offered me $100 to go down on me for an hour. I mean, he just offered it to me, and, you know, just think about it. I mean, yeah, I made him think I was going to go up to the room with him. I never did. I cut out half an hour early. I told him what time I was going to get off, and then half an hour before my shift ended, another waitress watched my section, and I cut out. So, yeah.
So you'll lead him on.
Oh,
but
hell yeah.
Okay, good. But he might come back in two nights, and then, well, what
he
happened?
He won't remember.
She never promised anything.
Oh, God, are you kidding me?
Okay, all right. Very
he
good.
Wasn't drinking coffees.
All right. I guess as a water drinker, I am totally out of it.
Okay, so we touched on this before, but how do you determine when to cut off somebody from alcohol? Is that your job? Exactly how drunk can they get? And does it matter if they're winning or losing? And if they have a room in the hotel or whether they might be driving? So how do they train you about that?
The cocktail waitress rule of thumb is you get cut off when you stop tipping.
This does sound like an honest answer to me, Michael.
So, yeah. You know, we have to take a TAM class, which, you know, teaches you to recognize all the signs of a drunk, whatever. And you're supposed to, like, engage the person and see if they're, like, green light means, yeah, go, just, you know, keep serving them. And yellow light means, yeah, they're on the edge, and you might want to be, like, you know, slowing them down. That's all bullshit. You know, just serve them as long as they're, as long as they're tipping you, you serve them. And then, you know, if the pit boss tells you to cut them off, then, you know, you're done.
In my 25 years of playing in casinos, I've only twice seen people cut off from alcohol. In both cases, they were
falling off the chair.
Yeah, they were just stumbling all over the place and being mean
and
nasty.
They let them keep gambling, right? Though.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
Yes.
So
they were losing their shirts.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Like, you can't drink anymore, but you can keep gambling.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, in one of the two cases, that's how it went down. In the other case, they just threw the person out of the casino because they just made one insult too many.
Well, yeah, Well, people who are being obnoxious have a shorter leash than people who are just drunk.
Oh, for sure, yeah. I mean, you can get cut off for being an asshole. I mean, it has nothing to do with for being a jerk off. A non-intoxicated.
For being politically incorrect.
Yeah,
let's go on.
For being a non-intoxicated, yeah, jerk.
All right, now, your websites have pictures of you. Now, your website is cocktaildoll.com.
Yes.
These pictures are suggestive?
Naked pictures, free.
Maybe not, but they are pictures of a pretty girl with very few clothes on, and you're selling these.
Some of them, yes. I like you said, I haven't updated my site in a long time. I actually haven't even gone on my website in a long time. So we just went over it right before the show. So whatever's on there, hey, just buy them.
Oh, hey, well.
I don't even know how much they are. I think it's $10 or something, $9.99.
So Dolly was saying before the show, she can still be reached through cocktaildoll.com, right?
No, my email hasn't worked in years. I have no idea what happened. So if you want to buy my pictures, just send me a message on Facebook, and I'll be happy to sell one to you.
And Dolly Wong is your Facebook name?
It's Dolly Doll. But if you search Cocktail Doll, you'll find me on Facebook.
Okay, and Dolly is spelled I-E or Y?
I-E.
All right, very good. Is there anything else you'd like to share? Our time is about up. Is there anything else you'd like to share with us before you go? Is your last shot to tell us anything that we should know about cocktail waitressing and gambling?
Yeah, just remember, always tip your cocktail waitress. Be nice. Don't be impatient. Don't be an asshole. And you'll have a great time.
All right. Thank you very much, Dolly. It was a pleasure having you.
Thank you.
All right. So, Michael, what did we learn tonight?
Wow, I'm kind of hot. Someone turn up the air conditioning.
You're hot because she's hot?
Well, just because of the temperature of the room feels hot.
Oh, I think that's because you're blushing.
Ah, boy, what did I learn? I learned about good manners, and you should always always be nice to the cocktail waitress, no matter how she looks. And I think that
now that cannot have been surprising news to you, Michael. You are a cesspool of good manners. you pride yourself on being a gentleman at all times.
But I try to preach that message whenever I can.
Okay, so all right, so this is not something you learned, but something you want to preach about.
Well, I did learn about the rule about cut off somebody when they quit tipping.
That actually sounds like, you know, we talk about having an edge in a casino. This is her talking about having an edge, and it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, what did you learn?
I was actually surprised to learn that there wasn't a code on the drinks. We had a surveillance video guy, Vinny DiCarlo, a few months ago, and he said there was, at least at his casino. And so Dolly says there isn't at her casino. I suspect they're both telling the truth, but I was surprised that it wasn't more universal. It actually makes sense for a casino that they would want to know that. All righty. Let's talk about some of our sponsors. South Point has more than 10,000 video poker games, returning more than 99%. That's more than anybody else. There's two more days, Double Point Days, in February, February 20th, and Leap Day, February 29th. Except on February 29th, it'll be a three times point day,
10 times for slots, from noon to 9 rather than just the double point days. This is breaking news. This, you've not heard this anywhere. I just spoke to Michael Gaughan today at 2 o'clock, and he said he had just decided, so you probably don't know this yet. This is actually disappointing to me, because I would love to take advantage of triple points, and I'm teaching class that day at the South Point called What Video Poker Players Should Know About Slot Clubs. So, Michael, you want to teach a class at South Point that day?
Actually, you know, I think I could pinch hit for you on Jacks or Better. I think that's the only one I remember these days.
This is when he couldn't. It's a What Video Poker Players Should Know About Slot Clubs, and there, and you kind of have to be to know all the slot clubs and be able to field questions out of left field. So actually, there's I'm leaving the machines for you. So take care of my Quick Quads machines, everybody. I hope you do well on them. I wish that I could be there joining you. This coming Wednesday's free video poker class is Double Bonus Deuces Wild. This is a 99.8% game, which is as good as it gets at the casino, and certain other ones around town, the Gold Coast and perhaps a few others. There are similarities between this game and the one we just taught, which was regular bonus deuces. But they are different in the amount you get for the aces, the amount you get for the straight flush, the flush, and even the full house. And all those things matter strategically. So one of the features we have in our classes is you learn how a change in the amount you get from a flush from 3 to 2 or the amount you get from full house from 4 to 3 affects the strategy. So those of you who play a variety of Deuces Wild games should keep in mind what difference these things make, and that way you can sit down at a at another game at least occasionally and have a shot at it. Let's talk about the Palms. The play, earn, and win promotion at the Palms, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, for the last part of February, has bigger prizes than have ever been offered before. The top prize is an iPad, and they're charging 175,000 video poker points in one day. You get to keep the points, but you got to play it midnight to 10 p.m. They have an iPod Nano 1300 that requires 6,500 points, and they have a Garmin GPS requiring 32,000 points. There's various other things down to 5 AA Rayovac batteries for 400 points. So the amount of points required on slot machines is a lot less, but I, of course, don't recommend you play slot machines. They have drawings on Tuesday and Fridays at the Palms this month. The entries are based what you've played since last Friday at 6:46 p.m. and expire 6:45 this Friday. They'll be having drawings, and then the tickets will be discarded, and you start earning tickets for the next Tuesday and Friday. There are 8 winners at each drawing. 3 of the winners get cash prizes between $1,000 and $3,000. The other 5 get lesser cash prizes, but they also get what's called a piece of the puzzle, which on the a week from tomorrow, Friday, February 24th, after the regular drawing, the people with pieces of the puzzle will get bigger prizes. Most of the people will get exactly $50, but some will get bigger prizes, the average of which is $450. Because of the tournament this weekend I mentioned earlier, and the larger PEW prizes, I suspect it's going to require a lot more play to win the drawings this time than usual. Usually, my experience is if I have played $200,000 coin in a week, I have about a 40% chance of being called in the drawing. This week, I assume that would go down to like a 20% chance. So you don't need to play that much. Certainly, if you've played 10,000, you might have a 0.5% chance or 1% chance. There are people who've played very, very, very little and get called. But the more tickets you have, the more chances you have of winning. VideoPoker.com, the website, has a monthly contest. It'll start in about a week, and we'll discuss the details next Thursday. It'll probably be 25 play super times pay. The game of choice on this should be triple double bonus, and although they'll probably set it up with a 9-7 pay schedule, it really doesn't matter. The tournament is 200 hands and on a triple play, or actually 25 play. And so the winners are going to be the ones who are dealt the juicy four of a kinds or dealt royals. And so, yes, full houses will matter a little bit, but really not. It's like if you get aces with a kicker, you have a shot because that's 4,000 coins times 25 lines. If you don't get dealt any quads, you have zero chance, whatever you get. Now, videopoker.com also have forums where you can email people back and forth. They're free to join. I post on them. So if that makes it more attractive to you, so be it. All right, Michael. Tell us who Michael Blue Jay is and why should we care?
Michael Blue Jay is going to be our guest next week. He runs the website VegasClick.com, among many others. VegasClick is all about Vegas on a very low budget. Michael Blue Jay makes Gene Scott look like an extravagant spender. I think that Blue Jay could easily get by in Vegas and have a good time for $20 a day. He also has all kinds of other websites on a host of different topics. Michael was also the webmaster and the advertising salesman for me for several years, so I know him very well, and I'm sure he's going to have lots of good money-saving tips for us.
So if Gene is a frugal gambler, Michael is a frugaler gambler.
Yes, he can tell us about what kind of dumpsters are good to find used bagels in.
I'm not sure I have any use for that information, but good. I actually, it should be fun, and good. And I will check out the website, and I will have lots of questions to see if I can trip him up. I have a column every Tuesday at thelva.com, and I got a couple questions about a recent column, and now seems to be a good time to talk about it. I wrote about playing a game 98% accurately. And so I went through some math. And so somebody else came out and said, if you got 98% of your hands played accurately, well, they'll warrant a total loss because you probably played them reasonably close. So maybe your total EV was, you know, 99.6 or something, even though you only got 98% of the hands. And that person is absolutely correct. But that's not what I was talking about. So using video poker for winners, you can get a return percent, which returns the size, it takes the size of errors into account. So I'm talking about where your return percent is 98%. So this might be you're playing 95% accurately, and some of your errors are bigger than others. So that's what I was referring to, and that was what we're talking about. Another email I got talked about a hypothetical example of a casino with a 0.7% slot club. I got an email from somebody that he wants to know where this 0.7% slot club is. Apparently he is lusting after double and triple points. In actual fact, this included double and triple points. It's like this Sunday, Gold Coast is having 7 times points for video poker player, which comes out to be a 0.7% slot club. On leap day, South Point is having triple points, which comes out to be a 0.9% slot club. So I'm actually referring to the total amount of the base slot club times the multiplier. And I suspect this is going to be disappointing news to the person who asked this question.
Now, doesn't the Gold Coast, don't you get even more than 0.7 if you spend the points in the casino? I thought it was 1,000 points per dollar in either cashback or free play, but 600 per points if it's spent in the casino. But correct me if I'm wrong.
That might be correct. That might be correct. And the reason I don't know is I generally don't spend points in the casino. I get enough food offers at a variety of casinos that actually using my and paying dollars or points for restaurant food is kind of against my religion.
I've known Bob for many years, and I have never seen him pay in a restaurant.
Not true.
Can you remind me?
Sure. We had a guest
2 weeks ago on our show about sports betting. And after the show, the three of us went across the street to Hash House Agogo. So Michael and I paid cash for, we hosted our guest to dinner, and we, or lunch, it was actually in the afternoon we did it. And so Michael and I split the cost of the dinner for three of them, and I think we used real cash dollars.
I stand corrected, and let the record show that I tried to challenge Bob to a wager on who would have to pay the bill, but he didn't want to. But can we say that you probably almost never pay for a meal in a casino because you're so well comped everywhere?
A part of that's true. Now, when Shirley would was able to go in a lot of casinos with me, and we would get a lot of comps in her names too, we always had comps. And we used to go to, like, Ellis Island would send us, each of us got dinner for two every day, like 30 days a month, except not this month. They would only hold us out to 29. But the days that we were welcome at Ellis Island are long past. And so now Shirley can't go into casinos very much because of health issues. The casinos are too smoky. So we actually sometimes eat at regular restaurants. We go to grocery stores and buy food and cook at home sometimes. So yes, that is a bullet we have to pay. But if I want to keep her, that's a price I have to pay. So I was actually surprised when Michael willingly saw no problem with paying retail for food out in restaurants and stuff. And I think this is a moral failing on his part. But I don't know. All right, so we got...
At one point, that would have gone against my religion, but I don't play as much as I used to, so I have to break down and whip out the old money more often than I used to.
All right, now, video poker tends to get the best comps compared to sports betting doesn't get very good comps, and blackjack doesn't get very good comps. That used to be true. Is that still true?
Yeah, that's sports betting. Most of the casinos don't comp it at all. The station casinos and the Boyd Gaming casinos do track sports bets, and I don't remember the percentage off the top of my head, but I think it's 0.1% at best.
Yeah.
But the racetrack does comp a lot better because the house edge there is very high.
Yeah, at the Palms, if you want to if you make bets in the sports book, you will get the same as slot club points, which is now worth 0.025. So if you make a $1,000 bet, you will get 1,000 slot club points. It does not affect your slot and mailers, but it is worth $2.50 of free play. So I suspect that could change the odds infinitesimally into placing your bets there compared to certain other places, but the gas it took to drive to there compared to somewhere else likely would chase that away unless you were betting really large amounts. Mm-hmm. Now the Palms is we're into our last minute, so they have recently become a Cantor sports book rather than a South Point sports book. So I'm kind of curious as to how that works. So we're going to ask Michael next week how he thinks the change in the ownership of that sports book affects the players. So we're down to 5 seconds. I wish you all lots of royal flushes, and good night, everybody.
You've been listening to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts, Bob Dancer and Michael Shackelford. Archived versions of past shows may be found on bobdancer.com and wizardofodds.com. We welcome emails at gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com. Bob Dancer and Michael Shackelford are both on Facebook and welcome your input or questions. Our sponsors are the South Point Hotel Casino and Spa, the Palms Casino Resort, the website videopoker.com, and the website wizardofodds.com. Join us again next week for another Gambling with an Edge.
This is Dr. Reeder. Remember to join me every third Thursday from 9 to 10 p.m., the What We Are radio show. It is the hour that focuses on you and your own thought world. Again, that's every third Thursday, 9 to 10 p.m. You can also go to VANR and listen live every Sunday, 10 p.m. That's VegasAllNetRadio.com, What We Are radio show archive. But it's all about who we are.
It's all about what we are. Hi, I'm Duke Liberatore.
And I'm Dr. Jan McBaron.
We are a husband and wife team.
And together we host the number one health talk show in the nation,
Duke and the Doctor.
You can hear our show weekdays from 6 to 8 a.m. here on KLAV 1230 a.m.
We'll discuss up-to-date health news, give away gifts, share in a laugh or two, and answer health questions from our callers.
Feel happy, healthy, and terrific when you tune in to Duke and the Doctor.
Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 a.m. on KLAV 1230 a.m., the talk of Las Vegas.
Don't miss out on Financial Fridays here at KLAV 1230 a.m. at 3 p.m. each Friday. Hi, I'm Leonard Wright, money doctor for the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants.
And I'm Scott Taylor, shareholder with Piercy, Bowler, Taylor & Kern, delivering innovative strategies for keeping money in your pocket for over 20 years.
Jason A. Thomas, a partner with Fair, Anderson & Langerman, our 80 years of combined experience will give you the information you need to make wise financial decisions.
So join Jason, Scott, and Leonard each Friday at 3 p.m. for epiphanies that will change your life.
VegasHotspots.com presents the Hothead Happy Hour with your host, Brett Feinstein.
Hey, that's me. Join us every Friday night from 7 to 8 for an hour of the best advice you can ever get about the Las Vegas nightlife and entertainment scene. And you can even call in to voice your very own opinions. We are Las Vegas's number one resource for partying VIP. VegasHotspots.com. We know Vegas. Now, we want to know you.
I knew a girl named Nikki. I guess you could say she was a sex fiend.
Can you say porn? Why is it that when this word is brought up, it's looked at as a nasty thing? This Monday from 12 to 5 p.m., we explore porn and find out why this has been thought of as nasty and degrading, and also hear from some of the people that's in the industry.
And the Curvaceous Bounty of Sin City Radio Show will bring you some positive stories and guests from the industry itself.
Telling their story, topic of Monday's show from noon to 5 p.m., porn, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and what really goes on behind the scenes and how many people have been infected while doing the scenes and how do they deal with their kids and family knowing their profession day in and day out. Call in and tell us why you hate porn or why you love porn. This Monday, the truth comes out. Topic of the show, porn, the good, the bad, and the ugly. We keep the conversation hot. Tune in from noon to 5 p.m. to one of the hottest shows on KLAV. It's Koji, baby.
Welcome, everyone, to Dance Charisma's Dancing on Air. I'm your host, Nancy Neese. We're here every other Tuesday at 9 o'clock p.m. We'll be talking about all things dance. And if you have any questions or stories you want to share about your dance experiences, good or bad, just call in and tell us about it. We'll be telling you about places to dance in Las Vegas, and we'll be bringing you a story from the world of dance. So that's Dance Charisma's Dancing on Air, every other Tuesday at 9 o'clock, or check us out at dancecharisma.com.
Hi, this is Ishi Kunin, the host of a new show called Family Law and Order. Our show focuses on what really matters to you and your family. We'll be talking about the court process, domestic relations, family rights, adoption, domestic partnerships, and many other important issues. You will have the chance to call live and have your questions answered by one of the attorneys at Kunin and Carmen. So please listen in every Thursday at 2 p.m. on the Talk of Las Vegas, KLAV AM 1230.
Love us on radio, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter. We are KLAV 1230 AM.
You're listening to KLAV Las Vegas.